getting chilled to the bone. What can Freddy be doing all this time? He's been gone 20 minutes.
Not so long. But he ought to have got us a cab by this time.
He won't get no cab, not till 11:30, missus, when they come back after dropping at the 8 affairs.
But we must have a cab. We can't stand here till 11:30. It's too bad.
Well, it ain't my fault, missus.
If Freddy had a bit of gumption, he would have got one at the theatre door.
Could he have done, poor boy? If people got cabs, why couldn't he?
Well, haven't you got a cab?
There's not one to be had for love or money.
Oh, Freddy, there must be one. You can't have tried.
It's too tiresome. Do you expect us to go and get one ourselves?
I tell you, they're all engaged. The rain was so sudden, nobody was prepared, and everybody had to take a cab. I've been to Charing Cross one way and nearly to Ludgate Circus the other, and they were all engaged.
Did you try Trafalgar Square?
There wasn't one at Trafalgar Square.
Did you try?
I tried as far as Charing Cross Station. Did you expect me to walk to Hammersmith?
Have you tried at all?
We are very helpless, Freddy. Go again, and don't come back until you've found the cab.
I shall simply get soaked for nothing.
And what about us? Are we to stay here all night in this draught with next to nothing on, you selfish pig?
Oh, very well. I'll go.
Oh, now then, Fred. You know where you're going, dear.
I'm sorry.
Two bunches of violets trodding in the mud.
How do you know that my son's name is Freddy, pray?
Oh, he's your son, is he? Well, if you've done your duty by him, as a mother should, he'd know better than to spoil a poor girl's flowers and then run away without paying. Will you pay me for them?
Do nothing of the sort, Mother. The idea.
Please allow me, Clara. Have you any pennies?
No, I've nothing smaller than sixpence.
I can give you change for a tanner, kind lady.
Give it to me. Now, this is for your flowers.
Thank you kindly, lady.
Make it give you the change. These things are only a penny.
Do hold your tongue, Clara. You can keep the change.
Oh, thank you, lady.
Now, tell me how you know that young gentleman's name.
I didn't.
I heard you call him by it. Don't try to deceive me.
Who's trying to deceive you? I called him Freddy or Charlie, same as you might yourself if you was talking to a stranger and wished to be pleasant.
Sixpence thrown away really remind me. Might as well Freddy that.
Phew!
Oh, sir. Is there any sign of it stopping?
I'm afraid not. It started worse than ever about 2 minutes ago.
If it's worse, it's a sign it's nearly over. So cheer up, Captain, and buy a flower off a poor girl.
I'm sorry, I haven't any change.
I can give you change, Captain.
For a sovereign? And nothing less?
Go on. I'll do buy a flower off me, Captain. I can change half a crown. Take this for tuppence.
Yeah, now, don't be troublesome. There's a good girl. I really haven't any change. No, stop. Here's 3 halfpence, if that's any use to you.
Thank you, sir.
You be careful. Give him a flower for it. There's a bloke here behind taking down every blessed word you're saying.
I ain't done nothing wrong by speaking to the gentleman. I've a right to sell flowers if I keep off the curb. I'm a respectable girl. So help me, I never spoke to him except to ask him to buy a flower off me.
Don't start hollering. Who's hurting you?
Nobody's going to touch you.
Who is that fussy?
Steady on him over there.
Took money off the gentleman.
What's she doing? Oh, sir, don't let him charge me. You don't know what it means to me. They'll take away my character and drive me on the streets for speaking to gentlemen. They'll...
There. Who's hurting you, you silly girl?
What do you take me for?
That's all right. He's a gentleman. Look at his boots. She thought you was a copper's knock, sir.
What's a copper's knock?
It's a copper's knock, as you might say. What else would you call it? A sort of informer.
Oh, I'd take my Bible oath. I never said a word.
Oh, shut up. Do I look like a policeman?
Then what did you take down my words for? How do I know whether you took me down right? You just show me what you wrote about me. Wait, what's that? I ain't proper writing. I can't read that.
I can. Cheer up, Captain, and buy a flower off a poor girl.
It's because I called him Captain. I meant no harm. Oh, sir, don't let him lay a charge against me for a word like that.
Charge? You... I make no charge. Really, sir, if you are a detective, you need not begin protecting me against molestation by young women until I ask you. Anybody could see that the girl meant no harm.
Of course they could.
He wants promotion, he does, taking down people's
what
words.
What business is it of yours? You mind your own affairs.
I sing a girl can't show the club around without being insulted.
He's a blooming busybody, that's what he is. I tell you, look at his boots.
And how are all your people down at Selsey?
Who told you my people come from Selsey?
Never you mind, they did. How do you come to be up so far east? You were born in Lisson Grove.
Oh, what harm is in my leaving Lisson Grove? It wasn't fit for a pig to live in, and I had to pay 4 and 6 a week.
Oh, live where you like, but stop that noise.
Come, he can't touch you. You have a right to live where you please.
Park Lane, for instance. I'd like to go to the housing question with you, I would.
I'm a good girl, I am.
Do you know where I come from?
Hoxton.
Well, who said I didn't? Blimey, you know everything you do.
Ain't no call to meddle with me, eh?
Of course he ain't. Don't you stand it from him. See ya, what call have you to know about people what never offer to meddle with you?
Let him say what he likes. I don't want to have no track with him.
You take us for dirt under your feet, don't you? Catch you taking liberties with a gentleman.
Yes, tell him where he come from, if you want to go fortune-telling.
Cheltenham, Harrow, Cambridge and India.
Quite right.
He knows all about it, told him proper.
Hear him tell the top where he come from.
May I ask, sir, do you do this for your living at a music hall?
I've thought of that. Perhaps I shall someday.
He's no gentleman, he ain't, to interfere with the poor girl.
What on earth is Freddy doing? I shall get pneumonia if I stay in this draught any longer.
Earl's Court.
Will you please keep your impertinent remarks to yourself?
Did I say that out loud? I didn't mean to. I beg your pardon. Your mother's Epsom, unmistakably.
I'm very curious. I was brought up in Large Lady Park, near Epsom.
What the devil of a name. Excuse me. You want a cab, do you?
Don't dare speak to me.
Oh, please, please, Clara. We should be so grateful to you, sir, if you found us a cab. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I knowed he was a plainclothes copper.
That ain't a police whistle. That's a sporting whistle.
He's no right to take away my character. My character is the same to me as any lady's.
I don't know whether you've noticed it, but the rain stopped about 2 minutes ago.
So it has. Why didn't you say so before? And us losing our time listening to your silliness.
I can tell where you come from. You come from Hanwell. Get out back there.
Hanwell.
Thank you, teacher. Oh, so long.
Frightening people like that. How would he like it himself?
It's quite fine now, Clara. We can walk to a motor bus. Come.
But the cab. Oh, how tiresome.
Poor girl. Hard enough for her to live without being worried and chivied.
How do you do it, if I may ask?
Simply phonetics. The science of speech. That's my profession. Also my hobby. Happy is the man who can make a living by his hobby. You can spot an Irishman or a Yorkshireman by his brogue. I can place any man within 6 miles. I can place him within 2 miles in London, sometimes within 2 streets.
Ought to be ashamed of himself, unmanly coward.
But is there a living in that?
Oh, yes, quite a fat one. This is an age of upstarts. Men begin in Kentish town with £80 a year and end in Park Lane with 100,000. They want to drop Kentish town, but they give themselves away every time they open their mouths. Now, I can teach...
Let him mind his own business and leave the poor girl.
Woman, cease this detestable boo-hooing instantly, or else seek the shelter of some other place of worship.
I've a right to be here if I like, same as you.
A woman who utters such depressing and disgusting sounds has no right to be anywhere, no right to live. Remember that you are a human being with a soul and the divine gift of articulate speech, that your native language is the language of Shakespeare and Milton and the Bible. And don't sit there crooning like a bilious pigeon.
Ow!
Heavens, what a sound.
God.
Well, you see this creature with her curbstone English, the English that will keep her in the gutter to the end of her days. Well, sir, in 3 months I could pass that girl off as a duchess at an ambassador's garden party. I could even get her a place as lady's maid or shop assistant, which requires better English.
What's that you say?
Yes, you squashed cabbage leaf. You disgrace to the noble architecture of these columns. You incarnate insult to the English language. I could pass you off as the Queen of Sheba. Can you believe that?
Of course I can. I am myself a student of Indian dance.
Are you? Do you know Colonel Pickering, the author of Spoken Sanskrit?
I am Colonel Pickering. Who are you?
Henry Higgins, author of Higgins's Universal Alphabet.
I came from India to meet you.
I was going to India to meet you.
Where do you live?
27A Wimpole Street. Come and see me tomorrow.
I'm at the Carlton. Come with me now and let's have a jaw over some supper.
Right you are.
Bye, Flack, kind gentleman. I'm short for me lodging.
No, I really haven't any change. I'm sorry.
Liar. You said you could change half a crown.
You ought to be stuffed with nails, you ought. Take the old blooming basket for sixpence.
A reminder.
Oh. Got one at last. Hello, where are the two ladies that were here?
I walked to the bus when the rain stopped.
And left me with a cab on my hands, damnation.
Never mind, young man. I'm going home in a taxi. A taxi fare ain't no object to me, Charlie. Here, what about a basket?
Give it here. Something's extra.
No, I don't want nobody to see it. Goodbye, Freddie.
Goodbye.
Where to?
Buckingham Palace.
What do you mean, Buckingham Palace?
Don't you know where it is? In the Green Park, where the King lives. Goodbye, Freddie. Don't let me keep you standing there. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Here. What's this about Buckingham Palace? What business have you at Buckingham Palace?
Of course I haven't, Nan, but I wasn't going to let him know that. You drive me home.
And where's home?
Angel Court, Drury Lane, next to Mickle John's oil shop.
That sounds more like it, Judy.
How much?
Can't you read? A shilling.
A shilling for 2 minutes?
2 minutes or 10, it's all the same.
Well, I don't call it right.
Ever been in a taxi before?
Hundreds and thousands of times, young man.
Good for you, Judy. Keep the shilling, darling, with best love from all at home. Good luck.
Well, I think that's the whole show.
It's really amazing. I haven't taken half of it in, you know.
Would you like to go over any of it again?
No, thank you. Not now. I'm quite done up for this morning.
Tired of listening to sounds?
Yes, it's a fearful strain. I rather fancied myself because I can pronounce 24 distinct vowel sounds, but your 130 beat me. I can't hear a bit of difference between most of them.
Oh, that comes with practice. You hear no difference at first, but you keep on listening, and presently you find they're all as different as A from B. What's the matter?
A young woman asks to see you, sir.
A young woman? What does she want?
Well, sir, she says you'll be glad to see her when you know what she's come about. She's quite a common girl, sir. Very common indeed. Well, I should have sent her away, only I thought perhaps you wanted her to talk into your machines. I hope I've not done wrong. But really, you see such queer people sometimes. You'll excuse me,
Oh, that's all right, Mrs. Pierce. Has she an interesting accent?
Oh, something dreadful, sir, really. I don't know how you can take an interest in it.
Let's have her up. Show her up, Mrs. Pierce.
Very well, sir. It's for you to say.
This is rather a bit of luck. I'll show you how I make records. We'll set her talking, and I'll take it down, first in Bell's visible speech, then in broad Romic. And then we'll get her on the phonograph so that you can turn her on as often as you like with the written transcript before you.
This is a young woman, sir.
Why, this is the girl I jotted down last night. Oh, she's no use. I've got all the records I want of the Listen Grove lingo, and I'm not... Be off with you. I don't want to.
Oh, you be so saucy. You ain't heard what I come for yet. Did you tell him I'll come in a taxi?
Nonsense, girl. What do you think a gentleman like Mr. Higgins cares what you came in?
Oh, we are proud. He ain't above giving lessons, not him. I heard him say so. Well, I ain't come here to ask for any compliment, and if my money's not good enough, I can go elsewhere.
Good enough for what?
Good enough for you. Now you know, don't you? I've come to have lessons, I am, and to pay for them too, make no mistake.
Well, what do you expect me to say to you?
Well, if you was a gentleman, you might ask me to sit down, I think. Didn't I tell you I'm bringing you business?
Pickering. Shall we ask this baggage to sit down, or shall we throw her out of the window?
Oh, I won't be called a baggage when I've offered to pay like any lady.
But what is it you want?
I want to be a lady in a flower shop, instead of selling at the corner of Tottenham Court Road. But they won't take me unless I can talk more genteel. He said he could teach me. Well, here I am, ready to pay him, not asking any favour, and he treats me as if I was dirt.
How can you be such a foolish, ignorant girl as to think you could afford to pay Mr. Higgins?
Why shouldn't I? I know what lessons cost as well as you do, and I'm ready to pay.
How much?
Now you're talking. I thought you'd come off it when you saw a chance of getting back a bit of what you chucked at me last night. You'd had a drop in, hadn't you?
Sit down.
Oh, you're going to make a compliment of it.
Sit down.
Sit down. sit down, girl. Do as you're told.
Oh.
Won't you sit down?
Don't mind if I do. Liza Doolittle.
Eliza, Elizabeth, Betsy and Bess, they went to the woods to get a bird's nest.
They found a nest with four eggs in it.
They took one apiece and left three in it.
Oh, don't be silly.
You mustn't speak to the gentleman like that.
Well, why won't he speak sensible to me?
Come back to business. How much do you propose to pay me for the lessons?
Oh, I know what's right. A lady friend of mine gets French lessons for 18 pence an hour from a real French gentleman. Well, you wouldn't have a face to ask me the same for teaching me my own language as you would for French, so I won't give more than a shilling. Take it or leave it.
You know, Pickering, if you consider a shilling not as a simple shilling but as a percentage of this girl's income, it works out as fully equivalent to 60 or 70 guineas from a millionaire.
How so?
Well, figure it out. A millionaire has about £150 a day, half a crown.
Who told you I owe?
She offers me 2/5 of her day's income for a lesson. 2/5 of a millionaire's income for a day would be somewhere about £60. It's handsome. By George, it's enormous. It's the biggest offer I ever had.
£60? What are you talking about? I never offered you £60. Where would I?
Hold your tongue.
But I ain't got £60. I...
Oh, don't cry, you silly girl. Sit down. Nobody's going to touch your money.
Somebody's going to touch you with a broomstick if you don't stop snivelling. Sit down.
Oh, one would think you was me father.
If I decide to teach you, I'll be worse than two fathers to you. Here.
What is this for?
To wipe your eyes. To wipe any part of your face that feels moist. Remember, that's your handkerchief and that's your sleeve. Don't mistake the one for the other if you wish to become a lady in a shop.
It's no use talking to her like that, Mr. Higgins. She doesn't understand you. Besides, you're quite wrong. She doesn't do it that way at all.
Here, you give me that handkerchief. He gave it to me, not to you.
He did. I think it must be regarded as her property, Mrs. Pierce.
Serve you right, Mr. Higgins.
Higgins, I'm interested. What about the ambassador's garden party? I'll say you're the greatest teacher alive if you make that good. I'll bet you all the expenses of the experiment you can't do it, and I'll pay for the lesson.
Oh, you are real good. Thank you, Captain.
It's almost irresistible. She's so deliciously low, so horribly dirty.
Oh, I ain't dirty. I wash my face and hands before I come, I did.
You're certainly not going to turn her head with flattery, Higgins.
Oh, don't say that, sir. There's more ways than one of turning a girl's head, and nobody can do it better than Mr. Higgins, though he may not always mean it. I do hope, sir, you won't encourage him to do anything foolish.
What is life but a series of inspired follies? The difficulty is to find them to do. Never lose a chance. It doesn't come every day. I shall make a duchess of this draggle-tailed guttersnipe.
Ow!
Yes, in 6 months, in three, if she has a good ear and a quick tongue, I'll take her anywhere and pass her off as anything. We'll start today. Now, this moment. Take her away and clean her, Mrs. Pierce. Monkey brand, if it won't come off any other way. Is there a good fire in the kitchen?
Yes, but I...
Take all her clothes off and burn them. Ring up Whiteley or somebody for new ones. Wrap her up in brown paper till they come.
You're no gentleman. You're not to talk such things. I'm a good girl, I am. And I know what the like of you are, I do.
We want none of your listen grove prudery here, young woman. You've got to learn to behave like a duchess. Take her away, Mrs. Pierce. If she gives you any trouble, wallop her.
No! I'll call the police, I will.
But I've no place to put her.
Put her in the dustbin.
No!
Oh, come, Higgins, be reasonable.
You must be reasonable, Mr. Higgins. Really, you must. You can't walk over everybody like this.
I walk over everybody? My dear Mrs. Pierce, my dear Pickering, I never had the slightest intention of walking over anyone. All I propose is that we should be kind to this poor girl. We must help her to prepare and fit herself for her new station in life. If I did not express myself clearly, it was because I did not wish to hurt her delicacy or yours.
Well, did you ever hear anything like that, sir?
Never, Mrs. Pierce. Never.
What's the matter?
Well, the matter is, sir, that you can't take a girl up like that as if you were picking up a pebble on the beach.
Why not?
Why not? But you don't know anything about her. What about her parents? She may be married.
Gone.
There. As the girl very properly says, gone. Married, indeed. Don't you know that a woman of that class looks a worn-out drudge of 50 a year after she's married?
Who'd marry me?
By George, Eliza, the streets will be strewn with the bodies of men shooting themselves for your sake before I've done with you.
Nonsense, sir. You mustn't talk like that to her.
I'm going away. He's off his chump, he is. I don't want no balmies teaching me.
Oh, indeed. I'm mad, am I? Very well, Mrs. Pierce. You needn't order the new clothes for her. Throw her out.
No. You've got no right to touch me.
You see now what comes of being saucy. This way, please.
I didn't want no clothes. I wouldn't have taken them. I'd buy my own clothes.
You're an ungrateful, wicked girl. This is my return for offering to take you out of the gutter and dress you beautifully and make a lady of you.
Stop, Mr. Higgins. I won't allow it. It's you that are wicked. Go home to your parents, girl, and tell them to take better care of you.
I ain't got no parents. They told me I was big enough to earn me own living and turn me out.
Where's your mother?
I ain't got no mother. Her that turned me out was my sixth stepmother, but I done without them, and I'm a good girl, I am.
Very well, then. What on earth is all this fuss about? The girl doesn't belong to anybody. Is no use to anybody but me. You can adopt her, Mrs. Pierce. I'm sure a daughter would be a great amusement to you. Now, don't make any more fuss. Take her downstairs
but
and...
What's to become of her? Is she to be paid anything? Oh, do be sensible, sir.
Oh, pay her whatever's necessary. Put it down in the housekeeping book. What on earth will she want with money? She'll have her food and her clothes. She'll only drink if you give her money.
Oh, you are a brute. It's a lie. Nobody ever saw the sign of liquor on me. Oh, sir, you're a gentleman. Don't let him speak to me like that.
Does it occur to you, Higgins, that the girl has some feelings?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Not any feelings that we need bother about. Have you, Eliza?
I've got my feelings same as anyone else.
You see the difficulty?
Eh? What difficulty?
To get her to talk grammar. The mere pronunciation is easy enough.
I don't want to talk grammar. I want to talk like a lady in a flower shop.
Will you please keep to the point, Mr. Higgins? I want to know on what terms the girl is to be here. Is she to have any wages? And what is to become of her when you've finished your teaching? You must look ahead a little.
What's to become of her if I leave her in the gutter? Tell me that, Mrs. Pierce.
That's her own business, not yours, Mr. Higgins.
Well, when I've done with her, we can throw her back into the gutter. And then it'll be her own business again, so that's all right.
Oh, you've no feeling heart in you. You don't care for nothing but yourself. Here, I've had enough of this. I'm going. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, you old...
Have some chocolates, Eliza.
How do I know what might be in them? I've heard of girls being trapped by the like of you.
Pledge of good faith, Eliza. I eat one half, you eat the other. You shall have boxes of them, barrels of them every day. You shall live on them, eh?
I wouldn't have ate it, only I'm too ladylike to take it out of my mouth.
Listen, Eliza, I think you said you came in a taxi.
Well, what if I did? I've as good a right to take a taxi as anyone else.
You have, Eliza, and in future you shall have as many taxis as you want. You shall go up and down and round the town in a taxi every day. Think of that, Eliza.
Mr. Higgins, you're tempting the girl. It's not right. She should think of the future.
At her age? Nonsense. Time enough to think of the future when you haven't any future to think of. No, Eliza, do as this lady does. Think of other people's futures, but never think of your own. Think of chocolates and taxes and gold and diamonds.
No, I don't want no gold and no diamonds. I'm a good girl, I am.
You shall remain so, Eliza, under the care of Mrs. Pierce. And you shall marry an officer in the Guards with a beautiful moustache. The son of a marquis who will disinherit him for marrying you, but will relent when he sees your beauty and goodness.
Excuse me, Higgins, but I really must interfere. Mrs. Pierce is quite right. If this girl is to put herself in your hands for 6 months for an experiment in teaching, she must understand thoroughly what she's doing.
How can she? She's incapable of understanding anything. Besides, do any of us understand what we're doing? If we did, would we ever do it?
It's very clever, Higgins, but not to the present point. Miss Doolittle.
Ow!
There. That's all you'll get out of Eliza. Ow. No use explaining. As a military man, you ought to know that. Give her her orders. That's enough for her. Eliza, you are to live here for the next 6 months, learning to speak beautifully like a lady in a florist's shop. If you're good and do whatever you're told, you shall sleep in a proper bedroom and have lots to eat, and money to buy chocolates and take rides in taxis.
If you're naughty and idle, you will sleep in the back kitchen among the black beetles and be walloped by Mrs. Pierce with a broomstick. At the end of 6 months, you shall go to Buckingham Palace in a carriage, beautifully dressed. If the king finds out you're not a lady, you will be taken by the police to the Tower of London, where your head will be cut off as a warning to other presumptuous flower girls. If you're not found out, you shall have a present of 7 and 6 pence to start life with as a lady in a shop. If you refuse this offer, you will be a most ungrateful, wicked girl, and the angels will weep for you. Now are you satisfied, Pickering? Can I put it more plainly and fairly, Mrs. Pierce?
I think you'd better let me speak to the girl properly in private. I don't know that I can take charge of her, or consent to the arrangement at all. Of course, I know you don't mean her any harm, but when you get what you call interested in people's actions, come with me, Eliza.
That's all right. Thank you, Mrs. Pierce. Bundle her off to the bathroom.
You're a great bully, you are. I won't stay here if I don't like. I won't let nobody wallop me. I never asked to go to Buckingham Palace. I didn't. I was never in trouble with the police. Not me. I'm a good girl.
Don't answer that, girl. You don't understand the gentleman. Come with me.
Well, what I say is right. I won't go near the king, not if I'm going to have my head cut off. If I'd known what I was letting myself in for, I wouldn't have come here. I always been a good girl, and I never offered to say a word to him. And I don't know him nothing, and I don't care, and I won't be put upon, and I have my feelings the same as anyone else.